Welcome to Sisters Speak, the podcast of Gaia Sisterhood. The intention of Sisters Speak is to devote energy to holding space for women from all walks of life, to celebrate the seasons of the year, to honor the phases of the moon, to connect with the rhythm of the earth and the rhythms in our own bodies, and to integrate the magic of ceremony and ritual to healing ourselves and Mother Earth. Gaia Sisterhood honors the divine in every woman through creative workshops, seasonal retreats, goddess craft markets, and one-on-one sessions in breathwork, aromatherapy, and shamanic journeying. Guide and Gaia Sisterhood founder, Jennifer Harvard. It is the March 2021 edition of Sister Speak. I would like to welcome my production assistant, Serena Wilson.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm excited to hear what our guest has to say this evening. Really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. So hello again, everyone. For the past few years, CBD has become this huge health industry. There's signs on every street corner announcing CBD for sale, and you can even purchase CBD and hemp products at gas stations nowadays. I was really wanting the listeners to know, first of all the fuss is about. So in this episode, I'm interviewing Fairlight Hubbard, who is a hemp farmer and owner of The Flower Key, where she sells her small batch organic creations. Born and raised in the hills of Kentucky, Fairlight Hubbard grew up in a culture rich with the art and traditions of matriarchal mountain women, passed down generationally. One of the prized arts of her people is plant medicine. Living off the grid and self-sufficient, days were spent learning arts, not simply for function, but also tradition and transmission of the culture. It is in this time period that Fairlight learned the art of working with our plant kingdoms, growing, foraging, and harvesting the medicine of our land. This inherited plant medicine from her family in the mountains has come full circle in the past few years as Fairlight transitioned into her roots once more and started an organic farm. Since its legalization on a national level, she has also been able to grow one of nature's most prized medicinal plants, hemp. Hemp is a healer and helper for our bodies and our planet. The countless uses for hemp make it an important plant for us to befriend and to incorporate into our daily lives. In the off season of farming, Fairlight has spent her time formulating new medicinal offerings with her line, The Flower Key, and educating about hemp and other powerful plants. Welcome, Fairlight. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks. We met about a decade ago when our children were attending the same school. And at the school, for those of you who are not familiar, at the Waldorf School, they are very big into crafting. And we had this big craft fair once a year, and we worked actually many craft fairs together. And so this is when I first discovered your background and your upbringing. I remember it being such a shock to me because I knew you as a woman who used to be a model, who owned a modeling agency, who is an incredible photographer. It never occurred to me that you grew up off grid. And honestly, I don't think I had ever met anyone who had grown up off grid. So it was just, it just kind of blew my mind. And now it's just, it's not a shock anymore. As I've gotten to know you, I see that actually, it's a huge part of who you are. And in fact, you have taught sculpture and weaving at two of my Wise Women retreats, and you will be teaching hemp at the next one. You are skilled in so many areas. You really are. And as I mentioned in the beginning, you also are learned in plant medicine, which leads me to my first question. What is it that made you return to your roots, so to speak, and to start farming? And why hemp in particular?
Like a lot of people in the path of maybe a wounded healer, that's really what transitioned me back to my roots. As you mentioned before, I've had an interesting life where I did live off-grid and went into an entire different lifestyle in entertainment and the modeling field, photography and production. And that's very much a part of me as well. But in 2013, I was involved in a motorcycle accident, which very well could have taken my life. I really had an emotional reset at that time. And it just became very apparent to me that a lot of the things that I imagined I would do in my life, I hadn't yet done. And I've had sort of a renaissance nature. So I've done a lot of different things. So it never occurred to me that maybe I wouldn't. And it just became apparent to me that the time was now to start doing those things. In my culture, continuing to offer the generational inheritance of what I was taught became a forefront to what I wanted to do and to also pass down to my daughter. In doing so, what first became apparent was just to get back and put my hands in the dirt, to start farming, to start working with plants. Mm-hmm. And that's been incredibly therapeutic as well. I'm thankful for that. Just after my accident, within the next few years, I lost both my mother and my grandmother. So it was really incredibly relevant that I would start doing this now too, because at this point I am the matriarch of my family. And if this line of knowledge is to be kept, it's going to be up to me to do it, at least generationally speaking, for my particular family, and hopefully just offering it to the greater community at large. So you mentioned why hemp. Well, I'm particularly interested in all sorts of botanical plants for medicinals, but this particular plant has been, how do I want to put that? This hemp in particular, or cannabis in particular, which hemp is a form of cannabis, has such a stigma and it's been turned illegal and its traditional medicinal benefits. So as far as deciding to farm hemp, being such a powerful healer as a plant and being such that it's been illegal for so long, it felt like the right step to take to farm and learn this plant and understand its medicine firsthand. For so long, it's been taboo to do so. And so when it became federally legal, I felt like it was the right step to understand the plant and put that in the medicinal line of the other botanicals that I work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something struck me when you were talking, and I've actually never thought of it before, but we actually have, it was very relatable. We have many things in common. I think you know that I also had an accident, which was the catalyst, really my life path. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting. And the wounded healer is something that I very much relate to.
It seems to often put people on their true path, I think. Sometimes it takes a catalyst. We live in a modern culture where a lot of the natural things that we might evolve into don't. We stray and take different paths, and there's so many things we can do. And I'm one of those people who like to do a lot.
So, I can relate to that too, Caroline.
Yes, but it truly brought me back into a place where I knew what would be the valuable part of my path and what I offer up as a gift to my living as well. You know, mm-hmm. It's a gift to be here and to be able to live, but what we offer and what we pass along and transmute, it just seems extremely valid at this point in my life, realizing that if you don't do it, it doesn't happen. So the sooner the better, I guess.
Exactly. And you're also mentioning how it's been so misunderstood. It makes me think of, it's almost like the Mary Magdalene of the plant world, like the shunned, the dark.
You know, it is interesting that just in the sense of like tying that into femininity, because the medicinal part of cannabis or hemp is found in the female plant, not the male plant. And so in some ways it has fought a similar battle, you know, to women. And in many ways, I think that also was something that I learned in cultivating it that drew me in. There is a medicinal aspect to femininity in general. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that this plant is structured that way. Mm-hmm. A really beautiful synchronicity. That's wild. Been really incredible to be able to learn that about the plant, because the plants teach you, as all of nature does, in my opinion. I learned most of my incredible lessons from nature, but I've learned so much from working with this plant, for sure.
Tell me a little bit more about hemp and cannabis and all its forms for our listeners. We hear the word hemp. We hear cannabis. We hear CBD. We hear THC.
Yes.
What a differences.
What a confusing thing to try to process. I even sometimes think people who are involved in it are a bit confused themselves. At the root of it, there's the plant, which is cannabis. The term hemp is another name for cannabis, but it is cannabis that has a very specific low level of THC, which is the psychoactive compound that's found in cannabis. So by all means, calling it hemp is a much easier way to identify that it is a form of cannabis that you don't expect to get high. In fact, it has many cannabinoids in its nature, which have all sorts of receptive activity within our endocannabinoid system beyond THC, and most of them are non-psychoactive. So it can definitely be confusing to understand that. It's also just new science. People didn't know we had endocannabinoid systems. This is all a new understanding in and of itself. Not just us, but our animals also have them. So, and that's why you see a lot of offerings up for pets.
Yeah, you see a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And so here in Tennessee, the CBD, the hemp would not have, not legal to have the THC.
Is that right? Correct? So hemp in general, you will have low THC levels. It's Delta 9 THC is the psychoactive component that is on the DEA lists. It's what has been criminalized. So long as it's under 0.3, then it's considered hemp. And, you know, along the way of growing it, you have to go through some pretty rigorous testing so that they can make sure that you don't accidentally go over with your genetics. Those things can happen depending on the genetics.
I guess so. Yeah. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah. The natural state of the plant. It's quite interesting because cannabis, as it grows naturally, and there are some heirloom plants that grow in other parts of the world that have not criminalized the plant. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to study and understand the way it grows and it with all of the cannabinoids that are offered. And mostly if it's grown to its full capacity, it tends to balance out, which means it has generally a bit of THC and a bit of CBD. And there are also some other active cannabinoids, but usually they're minors. So, but you might hear things like CBG, CBC, CBN, Delta 8. These are all cannabinoids that you can find within the plant. And some are synthesized cannabinoids that you can evolve from one another as well. But in its natural state, it's a more balanced plant. But in the medical marijuana industry, they have bred the plant to be very, very high in THC, which is known to also be an incredible pain reliever. And it's an anti-inflammatory. Right. Yeah. So there are reasons why they did that medically, but they just didn't understand that CBD also has part of the value. So as they began to learn that, cultivating CBD is incredible for our system and also offers us these things without the high. So it's a really nice alternative for people who, you know, are not necessarily looking for a prescription card or having to travel or live in a state that's a medical marijuana state in order to get relief.
It's funny, side note, I got carded at the health food store by, I got a CBD drink. Mm-hmm. And they carded me for a CBD drink.
Yeah, technically that shouldn't happen, but I don't blame some people for being diligent because there's just a lot of bad players in new markets. It's unregulated to a certain extent. So I don't think that you have to be carded for a CBD drink.
I was like, what?
Yeah, you would definitely need to be carded if you wanted to smoke the plant because its regulations are very similar in a sense to tobacco as far as age restrictions. And those are newer laws, but I think that they're probably pretty good ones. So it sounds unusual that you did, but I get why people just want to play it safe.
I thought maybe it was because it was a kombucha with CBD. I thought maybe there was alcohol in it or something. I was like,
well, you know, that could be. They do have.
I asked. No, she said it's the CBD. So I was really confused. I'm sure it's a little too complicated for this show, like how you grow the plant. Such a novice. Like, I don't know much about the growing of it, but how do you grow it where there's no or little THC? Like, is that too complicated?
You buy genetics that are naturally low.
Okay.
Yes. So there are genetics that are specifically bred that way. Those are considered hemp seeds. And so they're quite different than marijuana. It's nice to have those two names to distinguish from it being one plant, which is cannabis. And some people are like, oh, it's a cousin. It's the same plant. It's just different levels, but it's so important for communication. So we understand what we're dealing with.
Right.
Both legally and for consumption. You definitely want to know what you're getting.
Yes, you want to know what you're giving your dog or your child.
Exactly. You know, but anything that has THC is pretty strictly required for labeling too, that it tells you. So unless they just not following guidelines, you can expect that if you don't see a THC warning on a label that you're not dealing with anything psychoactive. So
right, we probably don't have to worry about that here in Tennessee.
You don't in the sense of anything regarding Delta 9 because it's illegal, but synthesized cannabinoids like Delta 8 definitely can produce psychoactivity. And so if you see them pop up, it's technically legal because it's hemp derived, but you can experience psychoactivity on that. And people should really understand that now too, as it's coming onto the market.
So. I did not know. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Now I'm going to look for that too.
It's important. The more people can understand, the more they know what to expect. And it's really important when you're dealing with a medicinal plant, you know, that you understand why you're taking it. There's so many people who do things recreationally, and I know criticism, and especially in states that permit that. But for me, I really believe in formulations that are offering you health, well-being, prevention, a number of different things this plant's good for. So, but in the grand scheme of things, not everybody's operating that way. So it's definitely important to understand your different cannabinoids
if you're consuming
hemp or cannabis products.
So speaking of hemp and cannabis products, can you tell me a little bit about your products, the Flower Key, what you offer?
Absolutely. It's a pretty comprehensive line. I do raw flower, which is obviously the organically grown flower that's been harvested and cured, and that can be used for a variety of purposes bought raw. You can obviously smoke it. Some people do. You can put it in tea. You can bake with it. You can make your own infusions if you have the mindset to. So there's a lot of opportunity there, but we also make tea blends, which is one of my favorite ways of consuming the plant. We offer a full skincare line, which includes things from cleansing to moisturizing to perfecting, toning, hydrating, lip products. And a lot of people don't understand how incredible CBD and CBG, which is another cannabinoid, are for the skin, but they're just incredible for your skincare regimen. It's, you know, your largest organ. And so it felt like a very appropriate way to start using the plant. And then we have tinctures and edibles as well. Some topicals that are medicinal for addressing healing or injury, things like that too. So
would it be the inflammation? But like you said, for skincare, I know CBD is really great as far as an anti-inflammatory. So it'd be really soothing to the skin.
It is. It's definitely good. It's good for a variety of things, but yes, the anti-inflammatory nature. And I use so many other botanicals alongside the use of the cannabinoids from hemp. And even just like the hemp itself, the stalks and roots have quite a bit of value as well. But all of the ingredients that I use are especially studied for all the skin benefits. And some of them will be age reversing or perfecting, toning, balancing, tightening. I mean, you name it. There's so many amazing things that are found within nature that are good for our skin. But the anti-inflammatory nature is really incredible. And a lot of times it addresses rosacea, things like that as well. But moreover, if you have acne, a lot of times it's a really great way using plant botanicals that are essential oils, and also the terpenes from hemp are very powerful ways to fight any sort of breakouts and things like that, because they just, they're antimicrobial. They fight so many bacterias and viruses. It's just phenomenal what these plants can do. So
amazing. I need to get some of your stuff. I still want to make an aromatherapy blend with the essential oils.
Yes. Yeah. We should work on that with the terpenes, a good beneficial to the aromatherapy for sure. A lot of people, you know, quite like some of the terpenes that are found in hemp too. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are found in many other plants, but hemp has terpenes from other plants might only have one specific terpene, where hemp, believe it or not, can incorporate that and hundreds of other terpenes within its structure. So it's quite curious the way it combines things. It's like it's kind of doing the formulating itself within its own nature of the way it grows, which is, as I said, it's a teacher. It teaches me in that way for sure.
Cool. Does so many things, just like you. It's a Renaissance plant. So lastly, I want to talk about your new space. So when we talked a few weeks ago and I asked you about doing this podcast, you mentioned that you're in the middle of renovating this new space. Yeah. And I got to see a little picture of it and I'm so excited for you. I really, really am excited. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And like, where will it be? Is it going to be public?
Yeah, I can tell you a little bit about it. It's definitely a process. It's in the making. And I'm literally spent all day doing that today. We're doing build out and construction and various stuff. But I've been functioning online with the Flower Key for the past year, which has been the proper way to do it, being that we've been quarantined.
Right. Yeah. And like many of us.
Yeah. It's worked out fine, but I had initially wanted some sort of retail space. At one point, I had even thought that I would function out of an Airstream, but all of those things evolved. And not until recently did I find what I thought is the perfect little place. So just north of Nashville in a small town called White's Creek, some people will know of it, some people will not, but it is a time capsule sort of spot. There's not a lot there, but some of the buildings literally from the 1800s are still there. And those are some buildings that I'm moving into and working on right now in order to create a space. And, you know, it'll be a place where we can do botanicals. We'll obviously offer our line and all of our products, but hopefully offer some teas and a little reprieve from the city as well. It's not far from Beeman Park, so it might be a nice place people can kind of stop in on their way to hike.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, definitely. In fact, that's where I usually go hike, is Beeman Park. And
Such a gem for so long. I didn't go because I just didn't understand that it was there. And now that I know, it's the only place I go.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And you also know that I love White's Creek. It's perfect because it's outside of town, but it's not that far outside. Still, you can get there easy. Do you have an opening date or just as soon
as you're done? I don't. Best I can tell you is to stay tuned. I mean, I'm a one woman show over here. I have some family members helping me, but for the most part, like anything, I do a lot of it myself. So right now we're building out and decorating, but I would like to think within the next month be up and going. So we'll see. But it's right at the corner, kind of just past Fontanelle on White's Creek, at the corner of Old Hickory Boulevard and White's Creek Pike. There's an old Masonic building. It was a restaurant for a little while, and there's a historic bank. That's the property where we landed. So we're pretty
cute. So in the meantime, can you tell our listeners where they can purchase your products?
Yes, we have an online store. The website is www.theflowerkey.com. Yeah, that's the only place currently that you can really purchase it. We've worked out other areas of purchase in different states, but as far as locally, we're still just online. So
great, especially right now. I mean, so much of we're still in our houses.
It's been a great way. I think that there's a good amount of information for people to be able to find out what they might want. And I make myself extremely available. If you get online, you can actually type in a question and it will come right through and we'll answer it. We try to be pretty persistent about ensuring that people know what they're getting, and a pretty flexible way of making sure people have, it didn't work out for them, you know, we would be happy to replace it or find a formulation that works. We do customs. We want to make sure that everybody gets exactly what they need. So
that's great. That's great. Because like me, other people might have a million questions about CBD and hemp.
Yes. We'll be starting some educational series coming up. And as I do, all that stuff will be available through the website and
kind
of track back to. You can always follow us on Instagram. Same thing at The Flower Key and myself at Fairlight. And I'm always happy to answer questions. People can feel free to reach out.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, taking time out of your busy schedule.
I've
enjoyed our talk so much.
It's been a joy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Gaia Sisterhood always has wonderful opportunities to get involved. Jennifer, can you tell us about some of your upcoming events?
Yeah, sure, Serena. Actually, the next two events that I have are already sold out. I have a chakra series coming up. I actually started it in October, and it's an outdoor series. Because of COVID, I had to take a little break during the winter, but it's starting back up in April, and that is sold out. And then I have a Beltane retreat at Pinuel Ridge Retreat Center during the day. That is sold out as well, unfortunately.
Wow.
But I have the next event I have coming up is for the summer solstice. It is also part of the chakra series, and it is focusing on the solar plexus. So it's kind of a combination summer solstice event, solar plexus opening event, which is called Ignite Your Inner Fire. So it's igniting the inner fire during this big fire festival. Hopefully we will have another goddess craft market in the fall. And I also have a big announcement on the full moon in March. So at the end of this month, March 28th, I'll be making an announcement. But I have to wait until then
because I'm
not quite ready. Yes, stay tuned. So I'm very excited about that.
That does sound exciting. I know that you have crafts and pieces of art that you also make. Can you tell us if people would like to look at these? And also you have an aromatherapy line as well. If they're interested in looking at these, where should they go?
Sure. Yeah, I do. And in fact, I've got some new aromatherapy products coming out this Friday. And I have some candles. I also have some body oils, things like that, and crafts. And you can go to my website, which is GaiaSisterhood.org. For the crafts, it'll say Shop Gaia Crafts.
Wonderful. Well, this has been a lovely March Sisters Speak podcast edition. Thank you, Jennifer. It was wonderful to learn so much about the work and botanicals that Fairlight is doing. Thank you, Gaia Sisterhood community, for joining us for Sister Speak. Join us again as we continue to explore themes of healing and community as women.